Hello and welcome to The Top Story, a podcast with the headlines of the day from our correspondents around the world. I'm Qi Zhi. Coming up in this edition, Israel says it is preparing for scenarios in other locations while keeping up its offensive in Gaza. The Biden administration says it has finalized rules for background checks for people who buy firearms at a gun show or online.And the president of Suriname continues his state visit in China, holding talks with his Chinese counterpart, President Xi Jinping. Starting in the Middle East, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says they are preparing for scenarios in other locations while keeping up its offensive in Gaza. Amid concerns from Iranian attack, Netanyahu says Israel will meet all security needs.Defense Minister Yoav Gallant says Israel will respond directly to any attack by Iran. Meanwhile, Russia, Germany and Britain have urged countries in the Middle East to show restraint. Sam Mednick with the Associated Press reports from Jerusalem.
Israel is in its seventh month of this war and there appears to be no end in sight. Cabinet Minister Benny Gantz said that much of Hamas's military capabilities had been defeated. He said most people were either killed or they were in hiding.Israel is entering its next phase of the war, which it says is going to be a ground offensive into Rafah. This is something that the international community, and particularly the United States, has greatly pushed back on and is urging Israel to find another way to eliminate Hamas rather than going in through a ground offensive. Now, while this is happening in Gaza, there are tensions and concerns that this war is going to expand regionally. The region is on high alert as tensions between Iran and Israel are getting worse.On Wednesday, Israel's foreign minister said that if Iran directly attacked Israel from its territory, that it was going to hit Iran directly back. Now, this comes after Iran reiterated that it was going to take revenge on Israel for an attack on its embassy in Damascus, which killed 12 people, including two generals. The United States has reiterated its ironclad support for Israel, saying that it will do everything to secure it.And some countries are trying to de-escalate the situation. On Thursday, Germany's foreign minister had a phone call with her Iranian counterpart. Later on social media, the foreign ministry in Germany said that no one wants the situation to escalate, and it called on countries to exercise restraint.
That was AP correspondent Sam Mednick in Jerusalem. Houthi attacks on cargo vessels have been plaguing the Red Sea for months.The group targets shipping associated with countries they believe support Israel's war in Gaza. John Beaver looks back now at the supply issues and the measures that have been taken to try and resolve them.
Germany's chemical industry is big business. With annual sales of more than $250 billion, it's the third largest sector after cars and engineering. But all three have been hit by supply chain problems because of the attacks on shipping,in the Red Sea. And it's a similar story for businesses across Europe. Many are struggling to get hold of what they need from their Asian suppliers.
Supply chains are there to ensure people's supply, and currently they're not very stable. Ships must detour around the Cape of Good Hope while we wait for raw materials, which now take considerably longer.
Ships that avoid the Red Sea and divert south increase their transit time by almost 2 weeks.The longer distance also pushes up cost. After the pandemic and the ongoing conflict in Ukraine, problems with supply chains are nothing new in Europe, but measures are being taken to try and fight back. US-led operations in the Red Sea have struck Houthi targets in Yemen and continue to try and protect civilian vessels in the area.In February, the European Union launched Operation Aspides, its own defensive naval mission.
Its mandate is to protect the ships that are passing through the Red Sea and parts of the Gulf, Arabian or Persian Gulf, if you want. So it has defensive tasks to protect the ships. So, of course, part of this defensive task, part of the mandate is to intercept and destroy everything that is being shot at these commercial vessels.
Tesla was forced to suspend most production at its factory near Berlin for 2 weeks because of supply issues.And similar problems have hit everything from toys to home appliances.
Red Sea shipping is responsible for between 12 to 15% of all global trade, according to the World Economic Forum. Attacks have been taking place for almost 5 months, and despite Western efforts to try and limit their impact, Europe is braced for prolonged disruption whilst the conflict in Gaza continues.
That was John Beaver on the Red Sea situation. In Europe, Ukraine says Russia launched waves of drones and missiles targeting its energy grid overnight. This damaged powerful facilities across several regions, including a large electricity power station in Kyiv. Megumi Lim has more.
Ukraine's Air Force said it shot down 57 out of the more than 80 missiles and drones launched by Russia overnight, targeting the regions of Kharkiv, Kyiv, Zaporizhia, Odessa and Lviv. Ukraine's state energy company Centrenergo said its Tripolia thermal power plant near Kyiv was damaged as a result of the attacks. The company said the strikes led to 100% destruction of its power generating capacity. DTEC Group, which had already lost 80% of its generating capacity from attacks carried out on March 22nd and 29, said Russian strikes hit two of its power stations, inflicting serious damage. Another energy company, Naftogaz, said two of its storage facilities storing natural gas, including some owned by foreign companies, were also hit. The region of Kharkiv, where the situation is already dire with rolling blackouts in place from previous attacks, had to cut electricity to more than 200,000 people, according to the regional governor. Russia's defense ministry said that it struck fuel and energy facilities in Ukraine, describing them as retaliation for recent drone attacks carried out by Kyiv against its oil facilities. With additional military aid from the U.S. still stuck in Congress, Ukraine has said that it could run out of air defense munitions if Russian strikes like these continue, adding that Kyiv is already making difficult decisions about what to defend.
That was Megumi Lim reporting. Turning to North America, the Biden administration says it has finalized the rules for background checks for people who buy firearms at a gun show or online. It addresses the so-called gun show loophole that has been a divisive issue. Tony Waterman explains.
This change all comes down to expanding the definition of who qualifies as a firearms dealer. For decades, that definition was anyone whose main source of income involved the sales of guns. So primarily owners of gun shops. There are roughly 80,000 licensed firearm dealers in the United States, and they are required to perform background checks on every single sale and to register that sale in a national database. But people who say gun sales aren't their main livelihood, maybe they sell guns at shows or online or in their neighborhoods, they don't do any of this. Under this broader definition, anyone who sells guns predominantly to earn a profit must get licensed, which could bring about 23,000 of these unlicensed firearm dealers into the regulatory fold. That is according to DOJ estimates. This new rule is going to take effect in 30 days and will essentially codify changes that were outlined in the bipartisan Safer Communities Act of 2022. In a statement, President Joe Biden said this change will keep guns out of the hands of domestic abusers and felons. One in five Americans say a family member of theirs has been killed by a gun, while firearms are now the number one cause of death for children in the United States. The National Rifle Association called this rule change the latest Biden administration attack on law-abiding gun owners and said it is already working to use all means available to stop what it calls an unlawful rule.
That was Tony Waterman on new steps to regulate gun ownership in the United States. Finally, in China, Chinese President Xi Jinping has held talks with President Chandrakirpasat Santokhi of Suriname. On the same day, the visiting president had stopped by Tiananmen Square in central Beijing and laid a wreath at the monument to the people's heroes. As part of his state visit, the president of Suriname has toured a museum displaying the history and achievements of the Communist Party of China. Santokhi expressed hopes to deepen relations and explore new areas for cooperation. Dong Haiyi followed him on that tour.
Following his tour of the Museum of the Communist Party of China, President Santokhi said the museum's depiction of Chinese history vividly showcases the nation's struggle for a brighter future and greater prosperity.
China is taking also leadership in the world and supporting also other countries. One of the examples is the Belt and the Road Initiative. And my country is also benefiting from this development. And sure, I believe with this visit that the cooperation really brought to a higher level, on the level of the presidency, and that with the experience what we have of the cooperation of 48 years diplomatic relation, but the cooperation is going far beyond than the 48 years, is 170 years, that based on that cooperation we can expand.
This year marks the fifth anniversary of the strategic cooperative partnership between China and Suriname. China's foreign ministry spokesperson has said previously that Beijing welcomes President Suntoki's visit during the special moment. Ahead of his trip to China, President Suntoki expressed confidence in the enormous potential for cooperation between the two countries in infrastructure, agriculture, and several other sectors. This state visit presents another opportunity for both countries to continue their enduring friendship and move bilateral relations to a higher level.
That was Dai Kai-yi reporting. China is the first country in the world to land a spacecraft on the far side of the moon. On Friday, it declared the Qiuqiao 2 relay satellite mission a success after it completed an in-orbit communication test with the Chang'e 4 lunar probe. It also finished communication tests with the Chang'e 6 probe, which has not been launched. Sun Ye spoke with scientists on the project about the significance of this progress.
The satellite has completed its in-orbit testing. The satellite platform and payloads are working normally and will be providing relay communication services for Phase 4 of China's lunar exploration program, including the Chang'e 6 mission, scheduled for the first half of this year.
Qiuqiao 2 is working as it should be, and it has the ability to provide relay communication services for missions including Chang'e 4 and Chang'e 6.
China's National Space Administration has said that the Qiuqiao 2 satellite is designed to be capable of providing relay communication not only for Chang'e 4, Chang'e 6, Chang'e 7, and Chang'e 8 missions, but also future domestic and international lunar exploration missions.
We designed Qiuqiao 2 with the aim that it should work for a long time and must be adaptable. It works on a long period orbit that is not only stable, but also requires little propellant. It supports the entire bandwidth of lunar X-band communication and all the frequencies. It also has a strong in-orbit reconstruction capability. In the future, whether it's domestic or foreign probes, we can reconstruct our software system to meet the changing demands. We hope to establish a public service platform. The platform can provide lunar relay communication for our country and for the world to support man's quest for lunar exploration, scientific research, and further development.
Relay communication is considered especially important for missions that involve the far side of the moon, where direct communication with the Earth is impossible. Such service is indispensable for future science needs in lunar exploration.
We can always extend its capabilities. So long as a future spacecraft matches with the Qiuqiao 2 on the interface, we can work together to complete different types of probe missions.
Since its launch on March 20th, Qiuqiao 2 satellite has been in good condition. Its design lifespan is 8 years.
That was Sun Ye reporting. Now recapping today's headlines. Israel says it is preparing for scenarios in other locations while keeping up its offensive in Gaza. The Biden administration says it has finalized the rules for background checks for people who buy firearms at a gun show or online. And Chinese President Xi Jinping has held talks with the visiting president of Suriname in Beijing. And that's it for this edition of The Top Story, a podcast that brings you world headlines every weekday. For more news in politics, business, sports and culture, you can subscribe to The Beijing Hour, our one-hour podcast news magazine program. We welcome and appreciate all ratings and reviews. I'm Qi Zhi. Thank you for listening.